Yes, we are. Where is it? There you go. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crace tonight?
In the House of Crace tonight, we have Mr. Philip Myron. He's on the show with a book called Purple Eyes, Volume 1, on Kickstarter. Coming up next.
Let's get it!
Only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the Dreamer, Medina, and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, you know you want to do it. Catch the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man, Vera.
I am with George the Dreamer, Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live. It is Wednesday, May 18th, 7 p.m. here in the East Coast. Let me know what time it is where you're at. But we have a great, great guest ready to come on tonight. We're going to be talking about his Kickstarter and his really, really dope book, bro. This is an interesting book. We'll talk about it a little bit. Yes. But if you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit the like button, comment below, hit that bell so that you know when we're going live. We usually do this on Tuesdays and Wednesday evenings. So join us. We also have a show on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
the morning brew with the crazy crew.
Oh, you got
Sammy,
it.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Yo, bro, we spoke a little earlier today. You know, yeah. I was worried because you know we talking to each other and we're like, you pick up your phone. I'm like, yo, what's going on with Sam? Yeah.
It's like Mr. Telephone Man.
You were doing
with my line. So yes,
you were doing some things. You were stuck in some post. What happened? Tell us what happened.
What happened is that the cartel tried to act up today.
Oh, hey, whoa, easy. For those who may actually be the cartel, he's playing, y'all. He's just joking.
It's called UPS.
Right? It's just joking.
UPS, they're crazy. So I took four boxes that I'm trying to ship to the expo, right? Because next week I will be at the Licensing International, D104. And so, you know, I have four boxes. One box, it's a long box because it has all my banners, right? And it's just the banners wrapped up in, you know, it's 10 banners wrapped up and it's a nice tall box. And then three smaller boxes. I go to UPS. I'm thinking all is good. They're wearing everything. They're doing, is it, you want insurance? Yes, I do. All that stuff. And they go, all right, $785. I say, wait, you smoking something?
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
You drinking? You sure it's not like $75? He's like, no, seven. I was like, are you crazy?
Let me check that decimal point. Wait a minute.
I was like, hold on. I said, you see, the problem is I have a checking account and a savings account.
What the fuck got set up?
So I said, I'm sorry I'm wasting your time. Oh. I said, I'm going to go over to the post office where it's cheaper. And the manager comes out and they're looking at the screen. It's like, yo, that's rent. You know what I'm saying? That's like 3 months of groceries. Yo, what are you doing? So I was like, nah. So I packed it up and I, you know, the boxes are pretty heavy. Yeah, so then I go and I drive, and Texas is pretty hot. And I really go to the post office. And I go into the post office. I get to the window. They go, this is going to go priority? Yes. You have to have the addresses written on the box. I was like, so they give me four labels. I have to get off the line and go back and now write all this damn thing down because I didn't, because I was going to go to UPS. I didn't create the labels. I had to do that. Then I go back to the windows. It was like $500 cheaper. And it'll get there Friday. And then UPS was saying almost $800 to be delivered Monday night. That's at crazy. The end of business day.
That is
insane. I need it Monday morning. I was like, are you crazy? Post office delivering it Friday afternoon. I was like, that's damn. What I'm talking about.
Damn. Crazy. I mean, what a morning, bro. What a morning.
Yeah, I was stressed. 2 hours. 2 hours. I was stressed.
Oh, that is incredible. That is incredible.
I can't believe people even... He had a straight face when he gave me that price.
That's right. He said, yo, it's got, like I said,
you were fighting words. Like, okay. I was like, you and me outside of the parking lot, homeboy. That's just crazy.
That's money, bro. That is money.
Yeah. So
that is money.
Yeah. So now it's just about, you know, got to get my test on Sunday. The nurse is coming over Sunday instead of Saturday. Get my test, take my document with me, meet my buddy out there on Monday. He's going to help me set up the booth. And then Monday night, at midnight, my other buddy lands, so he probably get to the hotel like 12:31 in the morning, and then we got to get up at 7 a.m. and to be back and down at the expo by 8:30, because they I think it starts at 9, so they want you to at least an hour before you start. So yeah, so then and then when we get back, you know, then it's duty time, bro.
It's duty time.
The Darius 31st. Yes.
May
yes.
31st, the launch.
The launch. There's Nailing in My Toilet, part two. This one's fire. This one's legit. This one's got some crazy stuff. There's a full activity book. There is the volume two trading card set. There's the covers. There's the coloring book. There's so much. And there's also... First introduce Duty's Adventures, the children's book. So all that's going to be available in this campaign. So it's going to be fire. So I'm excited about it.
Pretty big campaign. So that's book two. And so the story of this and Nailing My Toy, that's a 10-parter, right?
This one's a 10-part miniseries, and then it spins off into Duty.
Yeah. So check it out. So make sure you sign up. If you haven't done so yet, sign up below there on the show notes for There's an Alien in My Toilet coming. May 31st, that's a Tuesday. Now, we're going to be live on Tuesday. We're going to start the show at 7:30 p.m., and then the campaign is going to go live at 8 p.m. Perfect. Campaign will go live. So make sure you get ready, you sign up, you hit that bell so that you know when we're going live. It'll be on the 31st. You'll be fresh back from Vegas.
Because we'll be launching it then, and we'll be closing out The Adventures of Wonder Duck on, June 1st. Indie Comics Relay. So we'll be on Indie Comics Relay at 9 o'clock p.m. after we launch on Cast to Craze. Then we're continuing the launch and getting the last licks in for Wonder Duck on Indie Comics Relay right after. So it's going to be a long night.
Yeah. No, big time. And then on Wednesday, it'll be the last day for the Avengers of Wonder Duck. The last day of the campaign is on that June 1st, which is live right now. So if you haven't done so yet, please pledge to the campaign. I am about 9 backers away from 100, which will unlock another one of these little gold tickets. That's always upside down. Little golden tickets that you guys get. What I'm doing is for every 25 pledgers, I'm including this into somebody's random pledge. But, you know, it's got to be a physical tier. You open it up, you're going to have one of these. And basically what it does is bring this to any event or anywhere where I'm going to be, kind of hanging out, a convention, whatever it is. At the end of next year, I'm going to say about the end of next year, I should have part two of The Adventures of Wonder Duck for War and Takeover Part 2. This is Part 1. Part 2 will be done yet. It'll be a graphic novel like this, 88 pages. I will give that to you for free just for pledging to the campaign. So,
the caveat is George is moving to New Zealand. So if you're going to be in New Zealand.
Find me. I will be. Sam, I boost him up, man. You always try to come like this. I don't understand.
That's awesome.
But anyway, yes, please. I'm 9 away from reaching 100 backers. Yes. So, just pledge to the campaign. That we are also, what is it, about a little over $800 away from unlocking this bad boy right here, which is the next stretch goal. This is a print, 8x10 print that was done by Mr. Hector Rodriguez. He's the penciler on it. And then Sean Lee colored that bad boy. So we are about a little, like maybe a little over.
Yeah, Sean Lee's got some skills.
He does. Beautiful, beautiful piece. It is going to be unlocked hopefully soon at 4,000. It unlocks and then everybody gets it. All physical tiers will get that. So please make sure that you you do all of that stuff. So yeah, it's live right now. The campaign is doing gangbusters. Thank you everyone who's already pledged. But I still have 14 days to go. So I have 2 weeks. Two weeks to get to where I got to go.
It's like 14 long days.
14 long days.
So I do want to say thank you to the three newest subscribers to the channel. Yes. I can't shout you out by name because you have your profile private, so I don't even know who you are. But whoever you is, thank you for subscribing. And I hope that you stay long enough because, when we grow, the indie community grows. And that's what our goal is. We do appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
stranger danger. So, So I think we're going to
hold on before we bring him in. I just want to talk a little bit about his campaign before he comes in, so we can get. I mean, we don't have much time with him. We have till 8 o'clock. But just real quick, check out this tagline, bro. You know how Kickstarters, you're always looking for those taglines that are going to grab people, right? So his tagline is, "What would you do with only 73 minutes left to live?"
Word.
33 creators invite you to a world where 73 minutes before you die, your eyes turn purple. I want to know why.
I just thought it was because I freaking had too much sugar in my diet.
I want to know why. I want to know what happens. And that's
it's very, very, it's emotionally driven. When you think about it, 73 minutes. 73
minutes, bro.
73 minutes. It's like, and then put it this way. You got 73 minutes. So there's no way you can go and, like, say if your parents live in another state and all these other things. There's so many variables. So I think, whoever is closest to you, whether it's your wife or your whatever it is, that's the way you want to spend those last 73 minutes. I mean, I was like, what are you going to do? It's like, hopefully those last 73 minutes is not doing a freaking tornado. It's horrible,
interesting.
I love to see where they go with this concept because there's so many stories you can tell from a personal perspective on how. And I like the way we're gonna talk to him in a minute, but I like the way the reaction was when the friend saw the eyes turn purple. I thought that was very realistic because think about how many people can't handle pressure or can't handle reality. That's not enough time to get even. That's the first thing on her mind, to get even. What's up, Arellis?
Arellis bringing in that heat.
I'm gonna get canceled. I had to be a woman.
Wow, canceled. I apologize.
You get canceled.
The views of Sam Rivera don't reflect those of Catch the Craze.
She pulled the Amber Heard.
We are gonna keep going. We're gonna keep digging. We're just gonna keep digging. Sam is the funniest man in his world. He is the funniest guy in his world. He is the funniest.
Josh is afraid of the crew out there.
I ain't scared. I'm just saying. No, you're right, Sam. Like this concept right here. I mean, listen, brilliant concept. 18 stories, 33 creators, comics, the tales of humor, heartache, and humility. We'll have Philip talk to us about that a little more. Yes. Philip is actually chomping at the bit.
He's like, come on, let me in. Come on, coach. Yeah,
we got to warm him up. He's like, repeat offender. He's been on our show before, episode 319. So about 7 months ago. 7 months ago, he was on the show. Yeah, so check out the interview we did for him on that show. He had another book called Crackle, which was very, very good as well. So I'm an angry Puerto Rican from the Bronx. So he's coming up next.
Yes.
And so, Sammy, whatever you want to do next, go for it, brother.
Yes, I want to remind everybody why you should subscribe to Catch the Craze, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let these guys do it.
It's Monty Moore. I am a 30-year comics veteran in comics, games, and movies, and you've been watching one of my absolute favorite podcasts, Catch the Craze.
You are watching Catch the Craze.
What am I listening to?
And you're listening to Catch the Craze.
Where are all the indies at?
A Catch the Craze podcast.
What are you watching?
I'm watching Catch the Craze.
What are you going to do?
Subscribe now to Catch the Craze, the number one show online for independent.
Have you subscribed to?
You are an independent.
Catch the Craze!
Making moves on your own.
Catch the Craze!
On your grind in the streets.
Catch the Craze!
Join the movement.
Catch the Craze!
What's up, Phil?
What's happening, Sam and George?
What up, Phil? How you doing, man?
Good. Yeah, like you said, it feels like we just talked with each other like half a week ago.
Yes, welcome back, man. Welcome back on the show. How are things? How have the 7 past months gone? I mean, you had a project back then. You have a new one now. Like, what have those 7 months been like?
It's been busy. I mean, I did fulfillment for the previous Kickstarter, and I just kind of got the ball rolling on this one. You know, this one was a larger anthology, and so I allotted 6 weeks for open submissions, and we ended up getting 185 pitches.
Wow.
And it's just kind of been building and building, and the momentum's been going since then.
Ooh, nice. Fantastic. So, buddy, so between fulfillment, what other things have you been tasked with in preparation for this major launch?
So one of the key to like kind of get to the sales pitchy thing is, but like, so as you mentioned, like it's 73 minutes before you die, your eyes turn purple, and that's like a story prompt. And I rarely have seen anthologies that kind of dabble like with just story prompts. Usually it's a genre based, like you're either doing like all Westerns or all sci-fi, or you're mashing up doing, you know, public domain stuff. You're doing a bunch of vampires or werewolves type stuff. This is kind of a uniquer premise. We, you know, it's kind of a harder pitch. You have to explain, you know, the death limitation stuff. But it took a while to get all the pitches done. And when I got all the pitches, I wanted to do 12 stories, but there were just so many brilliant ideas and talented artists. And I didn't have a limitation on genre. So people were coming up with crazy ideas in different genres. You know, like Arialis was saying earlier about revenge, there are 3 straight up revenge stories, but one's a comedy revenge, one's like a petty revenge, and the other one's like straight up like a Taken type of revenge. So there's a good variety. But yeah, from there, something that's unique that we're doing with this is the creators are coming together about once a week to kind of collaborate and figure out ways to like tie these stories together. So the idea is that, you know, there'll be familial type of lineage, like this is an example, but it's like the main character, like the second story is the sibling of like the 7th story. And, you know, and like maybe the 4th story, you see a giant like weird looking building in the background, and like the 12th story you see the same giant weird looking building, and like, oh, that's just the same stories, but like, or it's in the same city, but it's like on the other side of town. Like, we're trying to add these elements in there and tie these stories together. You know, they're kind of like Easter eggs, but they're more like just filling up the world and giving the reader the best experience, you know, because if they do decide to go back and read the anthology again like a week or two later, you know, they'd be rewarded. You know, there's incentive to reread it.
You know, my question, Philip, is why anthologies? Like, why do you, like, because The Crackle was an anthology. Great book, bro, by the way. I picked it up, really, really good stuff. But why the anthologies? Why do you like going towards, because to me, I feel like, damn, that's a lot of work, bro. You got to get all of these artists together, all of these stories, and you got to make it work. Why do you choose that rather than just maybe like a single story that you can just kind of do it on your own and have less people around to help you with?
Yeah, it does seem like a heftier task. Yeah, like you said, it's my fourth, and this was my fourth anthology.
Yeah,
and it's just that much more creative teams and creators individually, you know, that things have to get scheduled, you know, deadlines get pushed, any life-changing events can occur, and just keep pushing the project even further down the road. I just really like it. Like, I like the challenge of it and, like, you know, kind of wearing the editor hat, but also wearing the writer hat in it. But I know that I'm always excited because there's just going to be that much more ideas that I can't think of by myself and creators that I never knew existed, you know, either they themselves or their work or just their style. It's just that much more expansion of my, like, you know, my friend creator basis, but also just that, you know, I can only do so much as an individual. And that's why I love comics, the collaboration process. Like, I have no intention of just doing prose because that's boring. There's no pictures in it. But, like, I just like collaborating. But as far as, like, I know I have to, like, you know, be a big boy and start working on longer narratives, you know, something like a 40-page, 60-page thing. But at this point, I really do enjoy just getting in, getting out. Do 7 pages, 9 pages, get the idea on, you know, get the ideas out. Type of stuff. Like, I really enjoy the short story part of comics too.
Yeah, no, it works. I mean, you found a way to make it work, and it really does work.
What I find interesting is that, you know, the lot of anthologies that I've seen or I've picked up, they might have a theme, a horror theme, but they're not linked, right? Everyone's just telling an isolated story that they wanted to tell in this book. You've made it a theme that's linked to that specific problem, right? And what was it about your pitch that appealed to so many people that wanted to create the story linked to that theme?
At least some of the feedback that I've got is that, you know, you get this, the you know, the writing prompt, and your brain just goes off in a million different directions. And, you know, like I said, it could be a revenge story. We have like 3 legit comedy stories. There's a medical drama. You know, some of the pitches that we got were more action based. Some of them were just more, almost like trying to solve logical puzzles of like trying to solve purple eyes as like a disease. Like, everyone came at it in various different ways. But as far as the linking goes, that was just like an aspect that just kind of naturally made sense. And I requested that, you know, I requested that up front as far as the pitches go. Like, if you, like, this is going to be an aspect of it. Like, you don't have, I'm not forcing you to be 100%, you know, curating your story toward this link aspect. You know, I just thought it'd be a fun type of like micro and macro thing where you can, you know, you can play around in this world, but if you want, there's also this other element of playing around with, you know, the tangential worlds and stories of the other creators. But I think that's just kind of like, you know, I'm always trying to figure out ways and incentives for readers to come back to the stories. And even, you know, some of these stories, the punchline is them getting purple eyes. But I thought it'd be more fun if, like, you know, things are linked together, but also, like, if, you know, if you're reading, if you're on like story 10, you're like, all right, well, someone's going to get purple eyes. And if it doesn't happen in the first page, you know, I'm looking, you know, you're playing with people's expectations. And that's kind of like, I wanted a variety of genres because, you know, when you get to like a new story, and you're looking at page 1, you can kind of guess what's going on as far as like tone and like genre and theme and stuff. But I like that, like, super spontaneous kind of like, you're, as the reader, you don't know what's going to happen on the next page. You flip the page, you know, it could be the end of the story. It could be, you know, the story could be playing, like I said, with your expectations. You can do some twists. Like twist that makes sense, not like M. Night Shyamalan twist, like twist that actually good.
Dude, I don't know how he still makes movies, bro. Like, I think The Sixth Sense was like his Driving Miss Daisy, and then he should have just stopped like making these like twist ending movies. Like, I'm sorry, you mentioned him and it just took me there.
Yeah, I know that's a hot topic.
I'm like, stop it. But go ahead, I'm sorry, Phil. Continue.
No, that's about it. I mean, I think it's, I just try to figure, like, so this is my 4th anthology. I'm trying to keep myself on my toes of like, how am I going to make this as interesting as possible? And yeah, like the connectivity aspect of it, but also You know, you touched upon it a little bit, but this is for volume one. And, you know, there were so many ridiculously brilliant pitches by talented artists that I had to say no to. So, you know, I want to do volume two early 2023, at least get that going. Yeah. But then also, there are some things that we couldn't like naturally link together. So like there is one, Sky Bergeron is a young artist. He's still in college pursuing his degree in, I forget whatever the degree is called, but it's basically comics, you know, sequential arts and stuff. And he's actually doing a story about in like the oldest main character. This person's at the end of their life, and they're doing, they die in natural causes. And we were like, all right, well, one of the aspects is that that elderly man has a long-term pen pal that he's had for most of his life. And we're like, all right, well, obviously we want to see, we want to show the, you know, the reader who this pen pal is. And we couldn't figure out a good way to do that because like all the other main characters are, you know, in their 20s and 30s and 40s, there's no one that's like close to their 80s. So we're just chatting like, all right, well, Sky, you know, you'll come back for volume two and you will tell the story of that pen pal and their relationship type of thing, like how they became friends and like, you know, is, you know, there could be the layer of maybe they're pen pals, but they're, they have some animosity and they're just kind of like spite mailing each other throughout the years. Like, it's like all this, you can play with anything. That's why, yeah. That's why I really like the openness of the, of like not setting a strict genre, because you can just, you know, you make, we're creators. We just make things up. And if it sounds good, then that's good. It's like, it's not a science to it.
You know, I guess my question is a two-part question in this case. So like, where were you when you thought, you know what, I'm tired of genres in, not tired, but there's plenty of genre-driven anthologies. What if I just gave them a prompt? Like, how the heck did that idea pop into your head? What were you doing? What were you thinking when you did that? And number two, why 73? Like, I've seen the 25th hour, right? And you know, 24 hours, 25th hour makes... Why so specific the number 73? Is there a meaning behind that number?
So going back to the first point, so this was not like, it wasn't like I needed to figure out what my next anthology was, or it was, I was after Crackle Volume 3, and Crackle's an anthology series that I write all the stories with, and I collaborate with artists from all over the world, and usually they take, you know, me to write the stories and collaborate with the artist about, you know, about a year, year and a half, and then I bundle all the stories in a Crackle book. And so the last story that's in Crackle Volume 3, which is last in the story and last one that was script written and also last that was completed between all the artistic teams, was this Purple Eye story. And so it kind of lingered, and Sean Dicker, Justin Birch, and I created the original story, and those preview pages are on the Kickstarter. At least for that story, we had a limited color palette. But this, if you look at the Kickstarter and you're just glancing through it, this book will be in full color. It's just that individual story just was in black and white with slight tinges of purple. But this is a full color book, this new anthology. But yeah, it was, you know, we wrote this. We completed the story and we're like, there's something here. You know, even though our story has this distinct beginning, middle, and end, you know, the world had that unique premise. And because of that, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to put Crackle on the back burner a tad and try this new idea because it's untested. You know, like I said, that was Crackle Volume 3, so I had a good following. I mean, you guys backed it. You know, last time I was on here, I got funded while we were chatting last time.
That's right.
It was fun. But like, yeah, it's so I want to try another risk. So I was going to go into this larger endeavor. You know, this one has a higher, like if you look at the Kickstarter, it's a very high goal, but that's because I want to pay everyone a you know, more than fair page rate. Like I kept seeing so many, around this time I saw so many predatory page rates that were like, like either $50 or 50 euros a page split between the creative teams. And that just, you know, people need to eat. Like people, you know, if you're an artist and you're spending most likely 10 plus hours per page, as far as layouts, reading the scripts and just thinking about it, and then also actually physically doing the art, that's not good. I mean, that's why I kept calling it predatory. So I wanted to try to give back to the community. And yeah, there's all these like little things that I was like, all right, well, I think this is my next adventure will be this larger anthology. And it, like I kind of mentioned earlier, like it kept growing from around, I was hoping to be a little under 100 pages, and now it's going to be about 140 pages, all things considered. But kind of going back to the second question, as far as like where did 73 come from, because that was an element that was in the original story, there is no like a really cool answer other than the fact that it was just like a really limiting time frame to kind of, you can't really do anything. I know, you know, Sam and George, you were talking about it earlier before I hopped on, is like if you're trying to plan around with your head of like, you know, what would I do? Like, what are the two or three things that I can have time for? It's really nothing. Like you can kind of go, you might want to go visit one of your loved ones if they're in the same town, but you definitely don't have time to go hop on a plane. Right. It's like all this other stuff. But it was one of those things, like when I kept, it was weird that 73 was like, I just like, all right, it's 73. It's not like I was bounced between two or three different numbers. Yeah. But like when I was kept looking at it, I'm like, all right, well, that has, you know, some like numerology elements to it. Like 7 plus 3 is 10, which is, you know, a whole number. 73 is a prime number. You know, it's like it has like some of these elements to it.
Yeah.
I get, is 7 divided by 3666? I don't know. think about
that's this a good video. Question. Oh wow! Now we're getting into it. Now it's like, what is the meaning?
I could be wrong though. I'm just trying to do math in my head. I'm probably wrong.
It's 2.3, but that sounded really cool. I'm like, I knew math.
But you know what? To your point, you know, I understood the attraction to the theme because there's so many ways you can tell that story.
Yeah.
From so many different eyes, from so many different perspectives, whether it's from the criminal element, you know, whether it's from, you know, the 5-year-old, you know, whether it's, you know what I'm saying, or whether a newlywed, they just got married and next thing you know, like what? You know, so there's so many different things you can do with it. So I can understand why there's such an appeal to that theme.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like, you know, everyone I talk to, you know, between interviews and just like chatting at parties, you know, because this is like in the forefront of my head all the time. So I'm always talking about it. Like everyone else has their like idea. Like it's a good jumping off point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just—I mean, we're just super excited.
That's awesome, bro.
Just to show everyone we've been working on for like 3 to 4 months already.
Sam, you have the page up? Yeah, there you go. Look at that, purple eyes.
Yeah,
that's awesome, bro. Yeah, so you have 27 days to go. So this will land on June 15th?
Yep.
June 15th at 12:02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, guys. This will end. But yeah, this looks great, man. So is this what you were talking about? This is the original little story right here that he's scrolling up on?
Yeah, that's a teaser panel from the original story. Like I said, it had a limited color palette. If you can kind of tell with that image, Justin, like, so Sean Dickers, the original artist, did the colors and, you know, he's traditional. So he did it on ink on paper for the art and scanned it in. And Justin Birch is a Ringo nominated letterer. He's a true artist. So his idea and his perspective was like he wanted to get more solid circular balloons. He thought it fit the art style, but he also came up with the idea of having the purple-eyed characters use like a tinge of purple in their text then it'd be almost subtle. I know it depends on what screen you can look at that it's more predominant, but in the physical, at least in Crackle Volume 3, the physical print of it is pretty noticeable. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just this individual story that we created. Like, this is the thematic, and this is the best way that we felt that it, you know, to relay the emotions and the story. And, you know, it's, you know, I've seen some pencils of some of the stories that are being created, and just like, you know, if anyone's listening here is an artist or a writer, or I mean, to say, if you're a writer, like, the most exciting thing is like opening your inbox and seeing new pages, like,
yes,
the pages.
Christmas morning, man. Every time, every freaking best time. Feeling. It's so good.
So now I got to experience that like a whole bunch of times too. I don't have to do the work, really. I don't have to write the stories. They just come in.
That's amazing. You know, that first image that you showed with the family photo, it reminded me of the beginning of Family Ties. I don't know if you remember that, Philip, but there was a show.
Archie Bunker?
No, it was with Michael J. Fox.
And, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, and they had like it reminded me of that. Even the guy with the beard reminded me of it, like the dad in the show. So funny that you guys did that. But that's cool. So the purple kind of signifies the person that's next to kind of like, they have like the 73 minutes, like the scarlet letter almost.
Yeah, it was kind of like a little tad foreshadowing and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, this was the scene I was talking about where his friend reacts to, he just noticed that his eyes just turned purple. He's like, yo, what's going on? And his friend runs, right? That's a natural instinct, because if you can't handle losing the thought of losing a loved one, and you know, and you're not built that way, you know, one of the reactions, you know, someone would do is run, you know, run, cry, hide, you know, and there's another reaction, which would be like, you know, what, console? Oh my God, your eyes are purple. You know, there's so many options, so many ways you could have gone with it. Why did you choose that option?
Because one of the things is they're young. They're like 6-7 years old, and it's I think it's in the preview page, or the page that's after the preview pages end, but it also says that the friend, you know, as you're young and you don't understand the world, he right. thinks it's contagious. And that's the thing, like, this purple eyes element's not a disease. It's not like, you know, it's not like midichlorian or anything like that. Like, it occurs when this 100% accurate, you know, time clock occurs, like, and it's supposed to just represent that death is near, or at least for that person. So yeah, one of the elements that we're playing around with this original story was that the main character who gets purple eyes, he's at that age where he's kind of like aware of death, like as an idea, like,
because he lost his father.
Yeah, because he did lose his father, and that was kind of the element of like that picture. But he's still young. Like, the kid's kid's like in second or third grade type of thing. So he's still like learning, you know, learning about the world. And then if you tell him that, you know, he himself only has so long to live, like, you know, as much as we old people can fathom it and like what we would do, like, imagine a child that just their whole life is cartoons and cereal and running around playing with their friends. Yeah. So we were focusing on that element type of thing.
Right. What I like about this is very organic, right? So you don't even know if it's going to be you, when it's going to be you. It just happens. Almost like when you looked at like what was it? Moon Knight, where it's forced upon you. He grabs your hand and you know, tells you whether or not you're gonna live or die. Where, you know, my whole goal will avoid that guy. Don't ever go hold his hand, right? You know, it's like, just stay away from him. Here, you don't have a choice. You can't run and hide because you don't know when it's coming.
Yeah.
Now, is there a theme, like, this is how it happens in this story? There's 18 of them. Does it always happen the same way, or is it, or did every writer decide how it was going to happen, or what was going to happen within the purple eyes?
Yeah, I mean, every writer decided, how they wanted to represent it. They either represented it like early into the story where you know who has purple eyes. I don't think there are no stories where it's like a surprise and like the cliffhanger, it ends on a cliffhanger of the character getting purple eyes, because
gotcha.
We received a lot of those pitches, but for me, that's just kind of, I don't know, boring. Like, it's more exciting to then see how that person reacts when they get it. And like, what do they do? I mean, that's the exciting part. That's the part that as a reader, I want to be like, yeah, so what does happen next?
Right, yeah.
So yeah, like everyone, the creators had their own perspective of either showing the character dying on screen, either through a drug overdose, because there's two stories that take place in basically like sex clubs, hedonist type things that people go to when they don't have much time left and they just want to not waste their money, but just like blow up their bank account, the last thing they do. But yeah, there's just everyone kind of approached it in different directions.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, there's no ones that are the punchlines, the purple eyes. It's like there's stories of just watching people panic and like making dumb decisions. But yeah, kind of the fun part.
Yeah, no. What is the average size of the stories? You're looking at 8 to 10 pages on average, or
a tad smaller. I'd say the medium ground is 5, because for me, I like to do odd, like page turns on the odd, because I like to always put before every story, even the Crackle books are formulated this way. Mm-hmm. Is I like to do what's his face, like a title card slash like, who the creators are. So when you're reading the story, you know who created those stories. You don't have to be flipping to the table of contents. Right. You kind of like refollow the page number, especially with a book this bulky. It's about 5 to 7. That's enough room for a couple scene changes. And the ones that are comedy based ones are a little bit shorter, that you get to the gag pretty quickly. They're about 3 pages. I mean, the longest one is 11 pages, and there's a couple 9 pagers. But yeah, it's usually between 5 and 7. So it's a good enough variety. So in the off chance you don't like a story, it's going to be over somewhat quickly.
That is true. That is true. And you have 33 creators. So that includes your teams of artist, writer, letterer, or?
Yeah. So a lot of people, there are some people that are the full cartoonists, they can do it themselves. But there are people that, there are creative teams where each all 4 of them. So a separate artist, a separate writer, a separate colorist, a separate letterer. And the part that kind of surprised me was letterers and colorists tend to, they can do more work. They can bounce between projects and stuff.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But everyone, even letterers, there's no creator that's doing two stories. And that wasn't by design. So like when I did open pitches, I wasn't playing matchmaker. That's what I always heard is like, you assemble the creative, you get all the pitches and portfolios of all the creative people, and then you yourself are matching who you think would be the best to tell stories with together. And that just seemed like a lot of effort, and I did not want to do that. So I asked for all creative teams, to be, when you pitch, just tell me who's doing what and link to portfolios so I can get kind of a feel. So like I said, it's weird that no one had claimed the same creative, creators, but yeah.
No, this looks great, dude. I like it, man. And how far along are you guys on the book? Like how far along, how many, do you have a lot of it already kind of like compiled, or are you still waiting on some things?
Yeah, we're still waiting. One of my big things, and I kind of alluded to it, is my philosophy is if you are an artist and creator, you should get paid. you should get paid for the work that you do. So the majority of the artists are waiting for the end of the Kickstarter. Yeah. And then once the money comes in from the Kickstarter, then I pay everyone their page rates, and then they can begin the work, and they have a 3-month period of time to do the work. Because, you know, you do work, you should be paid for it. Right. And, you know, I'm not paying out of pocket for pages up front. I mean, that was a choice, because because the page rate is so good, I'd rather not lose a lot of money out of my pocket right away and then just try to get the back end. Right. I mean, like I said, we're not on a time crunch. I allotted, you know, 3 months to do for everyone to get their pages in. If people want to get their do art beforehand, or if they got any scripts that they're doing, I'll put on the campaign. But like I said, I truly believe that if you're spending time and you're working and creating, you should get paid for it. And I mean, I'm not naming names, but there was an anthology that had a higher goal than mine, mm-hmm. and had a decent premise. And I had two of my friends have stories on there, and they did the work. Like, that book was basically complete. Like, it had all the art and that stuff done. And both my friends didn't get any money from there because the campaign didn't go through. Because I was reaching for the stars type of thing. Right. And he was looking to profit a lot on it. So then there was a huge back and forth of like, all right, well, this thing isn't happening. Can I have my story? Because the art's done, I can repurpose it's my story. And my two friends that collaborated together on that story, they had a lot of resistance getting the rights back to the story type of thing. Like, the person wanted to try to maybe salvage some of the pieces to do another thing. I'm trying to be as vague as possible. Inside baseball, but like, it's just one of those things of like, I saw my friend suffer through an experience roughly around the time I was in the like mental planning stages of this. So I was like, all right, well, I don't want to be that type of catalyst. I don't want to be that asshole to someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why the goal is what it is. And you're going to use that money to pay the artist so that they are getting paid for the work that they're doing, and they're not scrambling later on with finished work and no money, basically.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's how it should be. At least that's how I always feel like it.
So with everyone having a vested interest in this project, is the weight of promoting it on your shoulders, or is everybody helping you through this process?
Everyone's helping out. I mean, part of being like the editor is to be upfront and say like, you know, here's, what do you want to call it? Like a media plan or like a promo plan. And it's providing, I mean, as the editor, you everyone's looking to you because you're the team lead on this.
Right.
And it's coming up and having as much information as possible. So like, I mean, regardless if you're doing an anthology, if anyone's listening, planning on doing like social media stuff, I mean, regardless if it, even if it's like crowdfunding, one thing that I've always found helpful is having just a doc with 6 to 7 various different pre-made social media posts you can just copy and paste. Yeah. You know, for me, I'm on Twitter a lot because it's, you know, it's words and it's easier to share links. But then I have, you know, I have one with the, you know, Twitter word count limitation, so it's nice and abbreviated. And then I have another one for another section that I can copy and paste for Instagram and Facebook. And just that's just easier for people, because even if they want to post, you know, they can just use one of those pre-made ones, just copy and paste, you know, and add an image of whatever they're currently working on, like whatever, you know, work in progress or character sketch that they're doing, and you know, call it a day. And super easy. But one thing that I, as far as coming up with like a media plan, is saying like, all right, so there's three key points, and I forgot who said this. I was listening to the Comics Launch podcast, and they're like, as the editor, you know, I only asked for three main posts, and those are day one when the Kickstarter's live. You just go on the social media, be like, this thing's live, I'm part of it. You know, here's the link. Day two is to hype up what you love about your individual story. And day three is what do you love about someone else's story that's in the anthology. And that way everyone's cross promoting, post and tagging each other. But that's 3 days of pretty simple, you know, just the creators posting. And that usually drives like a lot of engagement and gets a lot of buzz, because that's just, you know, you at least for me, you know, on my feed, I just saw everyone chatting about it and all my friends, repost and stuff. So that's just a very simple and effective type of thing, because regardless if, you know, I leave it up to the creators, even though there's so many creators, I'm not going to force you to be, you know, to constantly post on this thing. I mean, that's kind of an asshole move. Even if you're doing like three pages, I don't expect you to focus 10 hours of your life posting about this thing, which is completely fine. You know, I'm here for your skill, you know, your skills as a storyteller and a creator, not as your marketing skills and your fan base.
Yeah,
like I said, if regardless, definitely having that doc. I've always done this even for my first Kickstarter, like definitely having a doc of pre-made social media posts. And then one that's always helpful is I schedule out my social media posts like when I'm sleeping, because then I'm just targeting that other side of the world, and I usually do posts that are focused toward digital rewards. Because no one's going to spend, I mean, you were talking, Sam was talking about shipping earlier. If you can't even ship within the United States, you know, try to get something on a boat to overseas.
Oh, God, forget it, man. Forget it. Yeah.
So we're at that point where it's time for you to deliver your elevator pitch. We're going to give you the screen. Tell everybody why Purple Eyes and where can they find you on social media. So here it is. Go for it.
All right, so 73 minutes before you die, your eyes turn a vibrant purple, and there's absolutely nothing you can do to stop it. There's no medical alleviation. There's no choices. It's 100% accurate. And there's 18 stories in this anthology, 33 creators. There's a variety of, humor, humility, and whatever the other part of the tagline is. But there's a variety of comedy stories, sports, medical drama, three very, very different revenge stories, action, some lust and love stories in there. And we've been working on it for about 4 months already. We're going to be working on it until the pages come into my inbox and sent to the printers. Very unique is that we're tying all these stories together, either through characters or settings, or we're having, you know, characters pop in the background, and we're filling this world up so to give the reader the best experience. 140 pages, possibly more, depending on, you know, if the creators get more ideas. One of the big things that we're doing is we have a lot of the cooler incentives and add-ons have been taken up at this point. A lot of the draw yourself into the story ones, but we have a couple slots open still for commission, so regular black and white commissions. But the very unique part is it'd be ink on paper, but the artists that have open commissions, they will add purple to their illustration. So like either you get Scott Arnold's doing commissions based off of musicians because he's a musician. So like if you get Prince, you get Prince, but you get the vibrant purple suit. Roberto Dubuque's is doing, like, he has, I think, like 6 or 7 more commission slots open. You know, if you want the Green Goblin, you get the Green Goblin, but you get that vibrant purple suit. Like, it's something that'll really pop off the page when you put it on the wall, you know, and it'll be a good centerpiece. So we try to get into the theme, but to get you something super unique that, you know, post the Purple Eyes anthology, you have something super cool on your wall that is pretty unique. It's until June 15th. I mean, we're just beyond thrilled that we can finally show people what we've been working on. And yeah, like I said, the money being raised, the vast majority of it's going toward the creators and paying creator rates. And then, you know, the usual stuff of printing physical books and Kickstarter fees and taxes and the other fun stuff. But yeah, it's my third Kickstarter, fourth anthology. I know what I'm doing. So all we need to do is get the funds to create the book at this point.
There you go, man. Let's do it. Let's get it done. All right. Hey, listen, Phil, thank you so much for coming on the show, man, and letting us know about this very interesting concept. It's so freaking interesting. So if you're watching and you want to pledge, make sure you hit the show notes. The links are going to be there. Philip, this is your fourth one, you said, right? So, you know, you're a veteran at this stuff. So yeah. Good luck with it, man. Good luck with it. And hopefully you guys, you know, make the goal and get this thing out there, bro.
Hell yeah. Thanks, George. Thanks, Sam. Right. This is fun.
You got it, man. Take care, Phil.
Bye.
All right.
All right. So that was Phil Mara, and that's Purple Eyes. And he's got to get a soundtrack for that. If you like this episode, give us a thumbs up, guys. If you have any feedback, put it in the notes. So then tomorrow morning, join us.
Yes. Live.
9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. George and I, we're going to be talking about all things pop culture and whatever floats your boat. But I think one of the things we're talking about is arrogance versus confidence. You know,
that's going to be interesting.
Is it a matter of perception? What is it? Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And if you guys are up late tonight, I will be on one of our buddies, JD Calderon's podcast tonight at 10:30 p.m. It's way past my bedtime. But I'm going to be talking Wonder Duck tonight. So if you guys are up, make sure you head over.
Crack McDougal.
Yes, that's right.
What is Wonder Duck's full name?
Duke Dulbeak.
Duke Dulbeak. Yes. Okay.
Yes. So we're going to be talking to him. What do you call him?
Crack McDougal.
Quack McDougal. Nice. That's his cousin.
That's his cousin.
That's his primo, bro. That's his primo. But yes, I will be on later on tonight. We'll be on tomorrow morning. And then we have a show on Friday. Wilson, I think it's Wilson Ramos, right?
Ramos is Friday. It was a good interview.
Oh, dude.
Yes.
It's too short. That thing flew by like this. So we're going to have him back on the show.
You know what it is? We have such a rhythm that when you have somebody like Wilson, who has such a history, rich history, it's never enough time.
For days, man. So make sure you check that out. That's going to be on Friday. And we're going to have him back for a live show where we can talk about all his stories and, you know, do all of that fun stuff. But yes, that's happening this week. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you subscribe. And that's all I got, Sammy.
Yeah, man. And don't forget, Wonder Duck is still going on. 14 days left. He got another pledge. He had 92 backers. Look at you.
All right. Eight to go. Let's do this.
And $699 away from unlocking that next stretch goal, which is pretty dope. Fantastically fantastic. And don't forget to sign up for There's an Alien in My Toilet, which launches the 31st. That's going to be dope. So we're excited. So, with that said, thank you, Aurelis, and thank you, Crystal, for joining us tonight. And
Justin, Chris.
Everybody who I see in the eyes who are watching, but they're not actually participating, thank you for even watching.
Thank you.
And again, thank you for the three newest subscribers. We don't know who you are because you're private, but thank you for subscribing to the channel. We appreciate you. With that said, Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Jima Medina. Peace.
And we are out.
It's
talking about my friend Acquiesce.
Say my name.
This is what you were thinking? Oh, you're describing. Listen, I'm the.
What? Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze. On Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.